It's like this overeager intern. And sometimes you do have to have a lot of upfront work, and people think it's just like, oh, AI will just produce great content with just like, write me a blog post about user onboarding and it's going to be great. No, like, you're in for a surprise if you think that's the case.
You're listening to Content Logistics, a podcast for B2B marketers looking to build a content engine that drives revenue. In each episode, Camille Trent interviews the marketers behind the best content marketing flywheels and uncovers the tactical aspects of content production from first draft to first customer.
Welcome to another episode of Content Logistics. I'm your host, Camille Trent, and this episode is brought to you by Tristan and Justin over at Motion. If you don't know by now, they are a podcasting agency for B2B tech marketers. So if you have a podcast, you're not happy with it, or you just want to take it to the next level, or if you're just launching the podcast, but you need help with the production work, you're not sure how you're going to repurpose content, give them a ring. Today, my guest is Romilly John. He's the content director of AppQues. He's also the founder and creator of Marketing Power-Ups and the co-author of Product-Led Onboarding. Romilly and I talk specifically about the different ways you can use AI in your content marketing today, how you might use it in the future, and we get into how he uses AI to turn maybe 20 plus hours of podcast production work into 3 to 4 hours max. Let's get into it. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for the invite, Camille. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited about this topic. So just to give people like a glimpse, a little taste, I was scrolling Twitter, and you had a really nice thread talking about how you're using AI in, you know, improving podcast production and basically just getting more time back in your day, like as a content professional, as a marketer. I think that's something that hopefully like everyone is interested in. Everyone could use some more time and like less grunt work in their day. And so I'm excited to talk about this. But first off, I've been meaning to kind of ask this question to queue up these interviews of when I say like, hey, you're the director of content.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like, you know, when you tell your grandma, when I tell like, you know, my aunt or whatever, they're like, great. Like, so, but what do you do though? Like, right? Or even if I say like, I'm a writer, they're like, great. Like you write like science fiction. Like, what do you like? So it really looks different, even if you're like, I work in B2B, I work in SaaS, like that's the role of a content marketer looks completely different. Yeah. So wanted to kind of ask you about what does it look like at AppQues for people listening? You're the director of content at AppQues. You're also a founder and an author. And so I'll just let you kind of talk about that journey a little bit and sort of why you're here talking about content today.
Yeah. In terms of like what content looks like at AppQues, for context, AppQues is like people can create user onboarding and product experiences easily without any code. And the challenge that we have, and I'm going to tie this back to content very shortly, is that we've seen an explosion in terms of competition, like more different tools can easily do this, where, you know, people can show a product tour or a pop-up, and how we're using content to differentiate ourselves has been really focusing on quote-unquote thought leadership. That's what my, and when I say thought leadership specifically, there's like multiple ways that it's showing up in the work that I'm doing. One of them is through like proprietary data. So we released like this product-led experience report where we surveyed like 350 SaaS companies and like try to get like, what does good activation rate looks like? Which is a question that we get asked a lot. Another one is around new frameworks. An example of that one that I worked on specifically is around this product-led growth flywheel and refreshing that. So I reach out to my previous contacts my friends in the product-led growth space, like Wes Bush, Andrew Kaplan, and a few others, and just like workshopped what a flywheel would look like for, you know, product-led experiences. And I used that to create this framework that now our customers and our users are using, and even our salespeople and CS people are using to help like sell our product, but as well as like evangelize product-led experience. So that's what it's been looking like. I have another person, a content marketer, who's in charge of more the SEO focus, but we've been seeing, especially we're talking about AI, but like even AI search, that there's more and more focus on expertise rather than more focus on like the traditional keyword research approach, which we don't really know what's going to happen there because Google and Bing and other search engines are changing the landscape really quickly in this past few times. So that's what content looks like at the moment. I don't know what it'll look like in a year to ask me that same question when like things have changed. So I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. So I like how you mentioned like splitting up content, right? You have someone who kind of specializes in SEO, and you kind of talked about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the positioning and like the point of view that needs to come first with content, right? So to me, it's like a little bit of like product marketing splashed in there, a little bit of just like strategy of, okay, what is our framework? Like, what do we believe like is the way to do onboarding? You had obviously like the past experience with product led, literally writing the book on onboarding, right? And then being able to tap, you know, people like from those experiences of, okay, let's make sure that we can explain like what it is that we do and what's like the proper framework for onboarding correctly. And then that'll like seep into all of our content from there, right? But first, like we need to like really understand what it is we're trying to say. And that should feed search, that should feed everything else. And you also mentioned like with things like search and with things like, you know, AI being part of the algorithm and that evolving over time, that you're going to see expert content being kind of the differentiator, because it's becoming like easier and easier with AI to just to pump out stuff, right? Like generative AI to me basically just means like the ability to create more stuff out of stuff. And so it's, if you have bad stuff to begin with, you can create more of that bad stuff, right? Like you can just be like, here's the bad thing, like replicate it, right? And it's really good at that. But I've heard like tests about this too, where it will be able to recognize like what a good blog looks like or article structure looks like, but then it won't necessarily do like the hard work of like extracting the, or finding the sources, right? And sort of like having like that source material to begin with. And so it'll just plop in like fake quotes like into an article, right?
That actually happened to me where, you know, what I usually do is get transcript. And one way I'm like trying to level up content for the podcast I have, Marketing Power-Ups, is like add quotes from the guests. So I plug in my transcript and I was like, find me quotes from this person. And then it added quotes. It's like, 1 second, that person didn't say this. So I like looked up the word, that phrase that I was using ChatGPT for this. And the person didn't say it. AI just made up a bunch of quotes. And I was like, don't make up quotes. And then ChatGPT was like, I'm sorry. It apologizes to me for making up the quote. And then I told it to write, and it didn't. So I think that's one thing that we have to be aware of, is ChatGPT lies sometimes, and it doesn't say that it's lying to us about what it's doing. So I think that's a good point you're making there.
Yeah. So someone brought up with AI, like you have to kind of think about it as like a very like unpolished, like no experience, like intern in a way, right? Where it's like they're over eager to help almost, right? And like, and no disrespect to interns, like I was this intern, right? At one point, I was just like over eager to help, but like absolutely like no real world experience and like no skills for the most part.
It's so good.
And so like you really have to like over explain like the things that you'd think would be obvious, right? Yeah. Of like, maybe don't make up quotes. Like maybe we get real quotes from real people. And so you really have to be, or something like, you even had the source material in this case, right? And so it's like, get those quotes from this transcript, right? Only use the transcript for the quotes, right? And just like over explaining at first. And then it's like, and then it can learn, it can retain like really fast, but like you really have to do more of the like upfront work, from what I understand.
Yeah. And I love how you put it. Like you have to be more upfront. Like when you're preparing for this conversation, you gave like who, what, why in this like Google Doc. And sometimes like providing that in the prompt, like who is this for? What is it going to use for? And then why, you know, is it like, you know, to have this conversation around this, and even like being explicit about structure sometimes, like I love how you put it. Like, it's like this over eager intern And sometimes you do have to have a lot of upfront work, and people think it's just like, oh, AI will just produce great content with just like, write me a blog post about user onboarding and it's going to be great. No, like, you're in for a surprise if you think that's the case.
Yeah, yeah, like, there's still a lot of editing work on the back end. So it's figuring out what does it do well right now. And you outlining the, yeah, who, what, when, where, why, and like how I kind of think about these interviews and how I think about content, like comprehensive content in general, kind of like cues this up. Because at first, I think we want to know, like, what do people think that AI is and like does for content right now? And is that actually what it's good at? Like, I wanted to kind of first talk through, like, what is AI really good at right now in the realm of content marketing? And sort of like, where should people start with it?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's some things that is great at, some things that is not so great. I think a few things that is great at, I'd say three things that I'm using AI that I find it's been helpful in my work. The first one is, like, sometimes I don't have time to read like a long like blog post that I need to summarize. So I think that's what is great. You plug it into ChatGPT or Notion or something else and just say, hey, summarize this in a few words, and it'll essentially grab and share with you like high level in a few sentences exactly the points in there. It might not necessarily be like publishable, but at least you get the gist of the content itself. So summarizing things is helpful. The second thing I find is very helpful right now is around like finding highlights, specifically certain tools like that we can chat a little bit more later, but things like, you know, Opus Pro, which is like it finds snippets of like of vertical videos from your interview and finding like good ones that you can potentially share. So highlighting things that are quote, and I use another tool that helps me find quotes that I can add in, and like to go through all of the content and be like, okay, this is a good quote. Sure, that takes a lot of time on its own, but finding somebody like a specific highlight of a content that I can share, that I can like highlight as a quote image or as a vertical video, or even share as a, you know, a LinkedIn post, could be very helpful. That it does help with. And I think the very last thing that it's good at is around ideation. So like coming up with new things. This is sometimes something that I struggle with, where like I write like a newsletter and then, okay, now I go back to what should the subject line be? So then I just ask, hey, give me like 50 variations of subject lines for this. Make it sound catchy and quirky, and like use this newsletter post as an idea. And it does give me some. I need to like massage it, but like often getting more ideas is helpful to like give you ideas around what could be the best. So I find like the AI has been helpful with that, like giving ideas around like not just subject lines, but like blog post titles, or like making stuff that are like, you know, that are on a tangent or a variation of something, like even podcast titles. I would ask like, hey, give me some podcast title variation, and I end up going with one that I already had in mind, but like it's able to add more ideas around that. So I think those three things has been helpful in my work and content with using AI.
Yeah, that's great, because like later on we'll get to like the nitty-gritty of, you know, how to use AI like for podcast production. But right before that's like, I think what a lot of people want to know is, how do you use AI just like in your day-to-day life to just like make your work easier? And there's a lot of like little ways, and you mentioned Notion, like that'll come up a little bit later too, but like starting to like use that to summarize things and just like automate some things that you don't and shouldn't have to use brain power for, of just like put these into bullet points, you know, like help me take better notes kind of a thing. And so, yeah, you're putting things into bullet points, you're summarizing. I really think that that's what it does the best right now, is summarizing and repurposing content, which takes us a lot of time. Like that's like a huge part of the job. If you can like find a way to like really efficiently, you know, take all that source content, which I think is what most content marketers like, because if I think about it, there's like, you know, a lot of people come from journalism or they're just, you know, curious marketers, right? We like having these types of conversations. So we like sitting down and like shooting the breeze with like other, you know, other tech people or or other people that we want to learn from, right? So like, we like doing that part of the work. And then it's like, you mentioned like, okay, well, I don't want to like sit down and read this like 1 hour transcript that I'm going to get out of this. Right. Like, it was great to have the conversation, but at some point you need to like synthesize it. I think the AI is okay at like the analysis, like synthesizing part of it. Like, they still need some, just I think some human help in terms of like, what do I care about? And like, what are those important points, right? Like, that I want you to extract out of this and that I want you to highlight. So again, it's about like feeding it those instructions. But as far as just like, summarize this, like make it shorter, but make it manageable for me. And then you can give it sort of like the tone stuff, right? Of like, okay, here's what, you know, the structure of a good LinkedIn post is. Here's like a Twitter thread. Like, you can feed it some different things and I can start to understand like format and tone. And yeah, and put things like in that format. You just have to check it so that it's not like piping in random other stuff to make it look more like the thing that you want it to be. You know what I mean? If you're missing some piece, but they're like, I know this piece should be in here because that's like part of the formula, but I don't have like the source material for it. Then I'll just like BS some stuff and like put it in. So it still definitely needs a manager. But I think a lot of those points that you brought up like are the points. And so the next thing was just kind of spitballing about like how to use this in like everyday life before we get into like a specific use case. So you mentioned Notion. I'd love to know like, again, just like how it kind of looks in your like day-to-day life or how frequently you use something like that or ChatGPT. And then the other thing is you mentioned ideation. And I'd looked into like a couple ways that SaaS companies were starting to integrate AI. So not just the AI first companies, which there are many of, like, you know, the Jaspers and like copy AIs of the world, but there's also like the Notions. And then what was the other one? Like Miro, I thought was an interesting use case because like Miro, I looked into because I love their mind map. Like, even before they integrated AI into it, like this idea that you can just like create this like spider web of things is like kind of how I like to work and think, is like just like starting from, okay, we have this theme, I'm gonna like split up into like all of these possibilities of things that we can do, and off of that, like, we're gonna thread other things. Like, it just turns into like this giant tree. And now Miro has added like an AI component that's like, it'll automatically do some of that stuff for you, right? Like, it'll automatically start branching out ideas for you, like on a whiteboard. So I'm planning on experimenting with that more. But any other just kind of like everyday use cases for kind of like the beginner content marketer to dip their toes into AI?
You mentioned Miro. I've never tried this. Super cool, like visualizing it. I know, so Ryan Law is a former CMO at Animals. He started using it to create like images. So I know, like, you know, great content usually has like visuals, and he would use Midjourney to create images for his posts. Like, his posts, if you go to ryanlaw.me, his blog, it looks like it's like sketches of different things. And he was like, I use AI, a Midjourney for that. I'm like, what? That looks nice. So I'm like, even using that traditionally, right? Even right now at AppKeys, we have a marketing designer that designs, has a template for all of our images for our content that, you know, when people share it on social media, that's the thing that Open Graph grabs into. But it's interesting to, you know, start using not just like textual one, but like images. And I'm hearing more and more around like using video. I know it's very rough right now, but like having like an AI avatar to create all those videos that you have. I mean, that's probably more for future, especially it could be interesting around customer education and like those marketing assets that you have to hire talent, or, you know, you don't want to make it into those sketches. So I think that's the other thing. And one other thing that I started exploring, my wheelhouse is not social, but like somebody who's also in charge of our SEO is in charge of our social show, like HubSpot integrated AI into their tools. So, you know, there's prompts to, hey, if you're writing a Twitter post, just add a prompt here. I find it's not like, it adds too many emojis. It thinks like emojis equal great interaction. I'm like, you probably know this, like you've done so well on LinkedIn, like if the best post you've had probably has very minimal emojis, instead of like AI thinks like, you know, having 15 or 20 emojis on a post is gonna, it's like, no, it's not. So I have to strip that all out. So I think that's something that needs to get better. But I think it could be a game changer once it figures out what is a good post. LinkedIn was exploring that. Did you see that? Like LinkedIn was exploring adding AI, where the director of product at LinkedIn was like, we're exploring adding AI for anybody to create LinkedIn posts, viral posts. And Kevin Indig and other people were like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, that's wild. I'll be interested to see how they want to go about doing that. Because this isn't quite like AI, but I thought it was like an interesting idea that's probably never used. I can see kind of like some of the good ideas like behind LinkedIn's like product thinking, and then like execution can sometimes be questionable. But for instance, like one of the things was like, if you have a good comment, right? Like if you comment on someone's thing with something like insightful, and then maybe it sparks like the idea for a post, right? Like if there's like a better alert system for like, hey, like you have, I don't know, 100 likes like on this comment or whatever. And then you can use that as like the starting place for like a post. And now it gives you that prompt of like, hey, do you want to turn this into a post kind of a thing? But it's still maybe like not enough like for the average user to like nudge them to do that. They're like, okay, but how? Like how do I now turn this into a post? It's a comment. Yeah. So I can see like the idea of like repurposing, you know, which is really what AI is good at, being used there, being like integrated a little bit better.
Have you used AI to write any of your, like aid you with any of your posts? Did you find like it adds a bunch of emojis to it, like ChatGPT or Notion AI, turn this into a LinkedIn post, and then I plug in a bunch of your posts and other viral LinkedIn posts, and it still adds a bunch of emojis, which I am so confused. I don't know why, but have you?
I personally like haven't experimented with it too much for like social posts. I just don't trust it yet, and I know like I know what I would need for it first, right? Like I need to get real organized with, and I went back and like found, you know, some of like the hook structures and stuff that I go back to and use, but kind of like creating that guide, like for, again, like for this like intern of like, hey, here are my go-to hooks, basically. Like here's like the go-to like structures, you know, that I like to lead with. And here's kind of what I'm thinking. But I mean, for something as small, like I guess as a social post, like it doesn't quite seem like worth the effort right now. But I think that what you mentioned with video and like visuals, like is really interesting. And I've heard Ryan like talk a little bit about AI and how he's starting to think about it and use it and things like that. And so that the images like in blogs like can make a huge difference in terms of like how I perceive a blog too. Like if you think about not just the article itself, but like the resource page and like the aesthetics of it, right? Whether or not this is like a legit kind of media company, right? Or if it's just like standard, I don't know, like traditional content marketing, right? Like there's a totally different like feel depending on like the style. So if you are able to use it for that, I see that being huge. And then with the video, with the video component, I had this like light bulb moment yesterday. You've probably seen like a few of these mashup trailer, like AI trailers that people make, right? And they like throw on Reddit and stuff. So there was one that was like, like Oppenheimer like meets Barbie.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that.
And it was like Oppen Barbie or whatever. Yeah. Did you see this one?
Barbenheimer.
Barbenheimer was even better. Yeah, so, but like, it's interesting in that like it was clearly like a human that was like directing it. And I don't know like, you know, how much creativity like came from the human and came from the AI. But I think he said it took him like 4 days to like put this together.
Yeah.
And it was a really like polished like production, right? And I was thinking about like this would be useful for content folks, especially at an agency. Because I've worked in an agency before and like worked on video productions and like how long it takes to just like put together the shot list, right? And like the frames, like all the designs that go into that. And then with something like AI, you're like, hey, I kind of like the tone. I like the tone of Barbie and like, but like mix that with like Oppenheimer and like, you know, have these three people be like the main like actors or like their type of personality and like just mesh all that together. And like, that's what I want. And like how much faster that process would go. And how much easier it would be to like present that to whether or not you work in an agency or, you know, you're just presenting that to your VP or your CEO, right? Yeah. Of like now you can visualize it. Like I'm not just like, here's a random idea and it's not like fleshed out. It's like, here's my MVP like of this. Like,
it's true.
Here's the trailer of what I'm trying to present. So I can see a changing like brainstorms and like and the expectation for like a potentially like very expensive idea getting through, right? It's like, okay, well, here's what it would look like, right? Like, here's what it could be. And you're able to kind of like convey that a little bit better to leadership. So I think there's like some fun, like creativity things in there.
The other thing around that is I saw this video recently with Johnny Harris on, he's a YouTuber, around deepfakes, where it's gotten so good where like he showed a video of Kim Kardashian and another one where it's like a deepfake and nobody can tell. And I feel like this could be like us just talking about this is like, I know a bunch of companies where they want to showcase their leadership, right? But they're not like really great on camera, where like that's a certain kind of skill. And I can totally see them hiring somebody who is very similar, but like layer on their face and their voice and deepfake the CEO of, I'm not entirely sure, your CEO or somebody's CEO who's not great on camera and make it sound like it's them. I don't know. That gets into like the ethical stuff of like, is this the CEO's words or is it they make him sound like PR ready? But it could be something where you showcase your people's expertise without having them on set necessarily, which could be.
Yeah, it feels like the evolution or eventual evolution of like ghostwriting, right? Like,
oh my goodness,
you're
right.
Happening, right? Is it's just like, you know, you interview a person or you, right. Hopefully, you know, you actually know what their personality and their take is on things.
Right.
And then you're just like, you're writing it for them based on like what they would actually say, but they're approving it. Right. Yeah. And so like, so this is just like that next
evolution.
Scary level. That's yeah. Like scary. Next evolution yeah. of that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that's where things go between that and LinkedIn. Like I'm eager to see what comes out of this. All right. So before we get into like those like logistics for a podcast specifically, want people to be invested in this. So talking about like the why this matters. And you mentioned like some of like the time savings, right, of this process. So like around how much time do you think AI saves you in your day to day or like maybe specifically with like podcast production?
Yeah, I mentioned in a tweet that it used to take me like, I don't know, 20 plus hours. I've like outsourced some of that, but now like I've replaced some of the stuff through AI and now it's like, I'm not sure, 3 to 4 hours. So it's like cut down quite a lot. I think the most heavy piece is around like editing. I used the first few episodes, I edited myself, so I knew how time intensive that was. And then I outsourced that to an editor to chop it up. And now like I use this other tool. So it has saved me up to like, I would say 10 to 20 hours a week in terms of like the, you know, video/podcast production when I compare it to when I was doing it all on my own in the very early stage.
Yeah, that's wild because it's basically like you initially like outsource some of the work that's like, okay, this person's more of a skilled professional in this specific area that's going to take them less time, but it's still human. And then eventually like, okay, actually like we can get some robots to do some of this work as well, right? And like they're actually getting pretty good at it too.
Yeah.
So like let's give these interns like a shot and like see how they do, right? And there's some things that you mentioned too are better than others, right? That just like AI like works better at than others right now. And so you're still perfecting that process. But why don't you like take me through the steps of your podcast production process from like starting with transcription?
Yeah, starting with transcription. We're both recording on Riverside. So Riverside added this new feature where it transcribes the whole thing and it starts highlighting like what is interesting conversation. That really helps me like figure out like where I should cut it and what I should use and really figure out like what is the main gist of that particular episode. So that's been good. And then in terms of like the planning itself, so I've been using Notion for all of my planning for my content, but as well for the podcast where I have all the questions, all the LinkedIn connections and any kind of supporting documents that through the research of that episode. And once they introduce AI, I love how they put this into context where like, since you already have all this context in your Notion doc, now you can like kind of summarize certain things where I would drop in the transcript from Riverside and then use that to like, you know, you mentioned earlier, I'm like summarizing bullet points and like, what are some of the key takeaways here on a high level, and give me like 30 or 50, and I would like cut it down to 5, as well as like at some point I would turn that into, once I have like a outline of what is the core points that this person talked about in this episode, that's when I turn that into like, okay, now summarize this into a short blog post and add quotes directly from it, from the guest, like, you know, from Camille, around this ideas, like around, you know, social sharing or, you know, newsjacking, that what we talked about, marketing power-ups. And then using that to really like publish this content here. In terms of the audio itself, I've been using a few tools in my process. One of them is Descript. Descript allows it to remove any background noises, things like, you know, AC, or they're not like an audio, like my space right now is not very like audio treated, but for a lot of folks, it's not audio treated, and it would remove those background noises. And then the final thing, I would say final two things around video, I use a tool called Autopod, which helps kind of like chop it up. So any like dead silence where there's an awkward pause, it would remove it. But it would like, if this multi-camera show that I have on YouTube, it would like focus in on who's chatting, and that would help a lot. I used to do that all myself. So like, okay, cut to Camille, cut to Rami, cut to Camille, cut to both of us. That was like, that's such a time suck. I had somebody end up doing that for me at some point, and then eventually Autopod does it really well. I still have to go through the whole thing, but at least I don't have to do all the cuts. And the final thing is around summarizing it. So like Opus Pro helped me get video clips for a distribution, and summarize, it helps me figure out like exactly the kind of quotes and the timestamps that I put into YouTube, where YouTube likes it if you give it timestamps, and then so that people can jump to the specific part of the conversation. So summarize provides all of that. But that's like a very brief overview of this, the logistics of like from idea all the way to, I guess, the interview, and eventually through hitting publish and distributing it, a show.
Yeah, no, well, I love that it's like so comprehensive, that it's really like, how could you AI every step of the process in this, right? Like, and so, you know, not everyone might have like the budget, for instance, to do this, but you can kind of like pick and choose, like, you know, where you want to start with this. And so that was going to be kind of my next question of, you know, let's say that you have a limited budget, like, and you can pick maybe one or two tools to like bring on, like what are your like must haves that like, now that you've seen the light, like you'd have a hard time with going back?
Yeah, I would say around like the distribution piece, I know like a few folks talks a lot about that, how distribution is a weakness of a lot of content teams, where like content creation is where they, you know, they excel at. So I think like helping distribute your purpose, and you mentioned this already as well, where like, how do we repurpose this content in other ways? I feel like that's where, you know, if anybody has to focus on that, especially with where our economy is at, and like really like getting more efficient with what you have, instead of creating more content, it's like helping, how can you use things like Summarize? I also heard Castmagic and other AI tools that can help you kind of pull out highlights out of a conversation and turn that into other pieces of content, like a blog post, a quote image, you know, video, vertical video that you can share on TikTok or Instagram reel. And so that's where I would like focus in on like a distribution piece and get more from what you already have.
Nice. Yeah. A couple notes, like as I was going through this too, is I was like, okay, if you don't have Riverside, which you mentioned, like we're both using it right now, and I really like it. And so, and knowing that it has this feature kind of like built into it that I would originally think of Descript for, like just like a 2-for-1, makes it even more worth it. But if you don't have that, and if you're already planning on, I think, using like Descript, like you mentioned, for like that studio sound, for like the audio quality, then to me, it's like, okay, well, you can record on Zoom, right? Like you already have Zoom. You can like record on Zoom, and then you can use Descript like to get that transcript. And it does that same thing, like where you can edit the video through the text, right? So you can like take out big chunks like just by deleting the text. So it would do that, like, and then I haven't used like the studio sound portion of it, but you could then use that for the audio. So it seems like the basic kind of like starting point for a lot of people is, it's like, okay, I want to do a podcast, which means like I need audio, and I want to do it well, so I want nice audio. I want like crisp audio. And like, I want to, you know, easily like be able to get that transcript and sort of like edit if I'm not really a video editor or an audio editor. And that would be like a way to do that is like, you can easily just like pull out those chunks of text. You can like get that audio, you know, you can pull like the intro and outro at the end, and then you can like make it studio quality, like pretty much like just with Descript, like as the tool there. Yeah. And then you mentioned like Notion makes a lot of sense because if you're already using that for for your work, right? Like someone's already paying for it probably for you. And so like you, so you get the benefits of that. And one thing I want to mention here is like, I've tried to experiment with like using this in like day to day with like projects and stuff of, and we mentioned bullets, but it also like turned things into lists for you too. So I don't have like a conclusive, you know, review on this yet, but I'm interested in like, can it recognize like which things are actually action items, right? And which things are just kind of like notes rather than just, you know, every line it turns into a list, which is, it's, you know, it's not that helpful. But that's like one thing that I'm looking at from Notion, right? Is you could also use it for like, you know, assigning tasks, right? So there's like the outline stuff that you mentioned, and then there's like assigning tasks to other people. So there's that. And then like what, to me, like what feels like the more advanced, like the advanced level, the marketing power up, if you will, is the video editing like portion of this.
That's true.
In that, like, I'm not an Adobe Premiere person. I would imagine that you'd have to have like, you know, some basic skills there. Cause when I look at that, it's like this like foreign, like, control panel, right? Like on a spaceship. And so that's what it is to me.
Yeah.
So I'll use like Adobe came out with like a really like basic video editor. And I was like, okay, this is more like my speed when I had to do more of that stuff. But yeah, but I like the idea of this like AI plugin that kind of just like finds those things for you and gets rid of the technical work. So like that seems like the more advanced. And then I like what you said about Summarize and just any sort of repurposing tools. That's usually the weakness of content. To me, like I trust AI more to do like the reformatting work of like turn this into a different format. Like it's in video format, like turn it into just really good audio format, right? Or turn it into a good written summary, right? It's good at those summaries. It's good at like changing into different formats, right? So there's that, but I don't totally trust it for like to find the right insights or to find like what's valuable content for people. Cause you just have to feed it enough of like, what does that look like? Right. And so that's where I'm like a little bit weary of, you know, some of like the repurposing, but I think it's worth like investing in early because if you can figure out all of that and you can semi automate, and like you wrote down guest bios, guest quotes, email content, titles, LinkedIn posts, Twitter thread. Like now it's like a campaign tool, right? Like you've basically sort of like replaced like a campaigns team of their content team that can like turn your source like into actual content for a bunch of different channels. So that's kind of my recap. I might have like anything that like inspired or that I missed there.
I think you made a good point there. Like, use what you already have. A lot of tools have been like integrating AI for better or for worse to their tools. Like, people are using, for a lot of companies, they're already using Notion or they're using Miro or things like that and exploring ways that you don't have to take on a new tool necessarily for it and figure exactly how you can use AI to, you know, speed up your, get the most out of your content that you have before. So I think that's the one thing I heard you say that I just want to double clicking on is like, you know, this is like, it feels like a wild, wild west right now with all these AI tools. And I think figuring out what works for you and where you can trust it. You mentioned also around like, you don't trust it for quotes. I totally agree with you. I think it goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes it makes up quotes and now I don't fully trust it to be like, this is what this person said. Like, did she really? Or did you just make that up? Or, you know, like kind of paraphrase a specific quote around that. Yeah,
that's a great point because once you start turning your basic tech stack, like let's say your tech stack is basically just you at this point, right? And like maybe Zoom or something. And that's nice because you don't have to deal with as much tech, but now like you're doing a lot of the work, but you also don't want to like completely go the other way and be like, okay, well, now I have like 20 tools in this like tech stack, and it's not necessarily right. easier because I'm at least like having to toggle between these different things. And so just saying like, what do I have right now? A lot of those tools like probably have some yeah. sort of like AI component right now that you're not taking advantage of, like that we started talking about, of the Miros, the Notions, Google, like even, right? Like all of these things like have started kind of like adding these components. And this is unrelated basically to like a content use case, but I think it's fun of just like the creativity they can use with this is Zapier, right? So like a lot of companies like use Zaps like to send things like back and forth and connect different tools. And so our CSM, like shout out to Lauren, she used the ChatGPT like Chrome plugin to be able to, and Zapier together, to be able to basically like scrape all of her recipes that she'd like saved in Pinterest to basically turn, and they would turn that into a grocery list, right? So like they turn that into like a grocery list, yeah. like for, you know, Saturday or whatever. And so it's like, okay, here are all of like the items like from those recipes that I need to buy. And it would like automatically do that like through Zapier. So it's just like a small thing. Like it's like a small hack, you know what I mean?
That's impressive.
Like, we just happen to already have this like tool that we're paying for. And I think it was a matter of like the Chrome plugin with Zapier, like specifically like sent all that scraped information from Pinterest into Excel. And then you have to have like a little bit of like Excel skills to like, you know, format it the way that we want. She's like, I just like had my husband do that. he did all the Excel like integration part. But I thought it was just like a cool use case and just like something cool to like spark, you know, like the next thing of like, okay, what's the content version of that, right? Like how can I like send the information, like the source material that I want from here to here. So it seems like a decent way to like start wrapping up here. But so we went through kind of like your whole process on like the production side, how you could AI every part of your podcast if you wanted. Maybe I should start using like even like the AI voices too. Like it's not even me sitting here. That's not what you said about like the deep fake. I'll create like an AI version of myself to start doing these interviews. No, but from there I wanted to know measurement. So like we talked about this with like how much time that it saved, but any other like measurements like that are worthwhile with like how you should think about sort of measuring the value of AI for content?
Yeah, I mentioned around distribution. I think that's like been the biggest impact. I had another podcast, Growth Marketing Today, before my current one with Marketing Power-Ups and with AppQs with Behind the Experience. And I feel like that's been the biggest game changer, where like just publishing it on audio, you know, you can get X number of downloads, but like I've seen, you know, 3 to 5 times increase in like impressions on LinkedIn when I, you know, have LinkedIn, Twitter, everywhere when I distribute it in other places, now that I can repurpose it. I think people get the value of repurposing, but people don't really see it until they see the impact on like what it is for, specifically for video podcasts, where you can repurpose it in so many different ways. I think that's the other measurement that people can take a look at and helping them. It's like, you know, with shorter amount of time that it did take before, you can now like have a greater reach per se with like cutting up the show itself in many different formats for people to consume, because sometimes they don't have a whole hour, you know, but they have 30 seconds to read your post, or, you know, 1 minute to read your newsletter that you repurpose your content around, or I don't know, 30 seconds to watch that snippet that you posted up. So I think that's just giving people time and space to like hear about what you're working on without having necessarily more to do per se.
Yeah, nice. Using like your time in for things that no one else can do but you, right? Or it feels like you're the best kind of like suited to do. Yeah. Nice. And then the last thing, the future. So as far as like future state for AI, what do you think you're most looking forward to of like, man, like in a couple of years, we're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Like you mentioned some of these things already. It didn't necessarily sound like the things that you're maybe the most excited about, maybe like the most terrified about.
I'm not actually terrified. Yeah, I would say like the video stuff is interesting. I do shoot videos for our IPS YouTube channel. It's interesting. It's done better recently just because of like the transition away from text. I'm not entirely sure why it's working, but we are getting more impressions search results there. And setting up, writing script, and then filming it, it takes a lot of energy and time on my end. And I would not mind defaking myself. You know, like it sounds scary, but like if it's good and it's good, like it looks like me, talks like me, sounds like me, I wouldn't mind using that. I think that's having generative video content would be super fascinating. I feel like that could be where things get scary, but also things get interesting for us as content marketers, where videos do give you an edge, especially with shows or video content. And, you know, I think it takes it, you're repurposing to the next level, especially if you have a blog post. How do you repurpose that into video content if you don't have a talent? Unless you, I'm not entirely sure, but I think that would be super interesting. I saw lots like applying that to like short form videos on YouTube Shorts or TikTok or Instagram Reels. That's where it gets interesting. I am when that happens, I'll be both scared and both like childishly excited at the same time if I do find a tool around that.
Nice. No, yeah, I just dipped my toes into the world of like Roombas the other day. And so like I guess I'm on level one here in terms of like, I'm excited. I was excited about that. My son and dog were like, not about it. They're like terrified of it. So, you know, like we're at those early stages and stuff. But yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. And I do think that if those who have been listening so far, like if you haven't used ChatGPT at all, like it's definitely worth experimenting with. Like there's some part of like your workflow that it's going to like make better. Plus, I think like the next thing is there's already tools they are using. They've started integrating AI. So like there's no harm in just sort of like trying it out and see if it saves you at least like a few minutes a day. So that's what I'd say here. Totally. So thanks for just going through like your process on podcasts. I think there's definitely a couple elements that I'm going to experiment with this podcast, and I'll report back on how that goes. And just like anything else that you would say to people who are just getting started, advice that you'd give them with AI content and how to kind of get it right and avoid maybe some mistakes that you sort of hit along the way.
Yeah, I think we both explicitly said it already that then don't trust AI per se, but I think the human intervention is super, super important. I forgot who said it. It's around like adding that human element in the AI world. So, so important, whether that's like making sure you review the content, but as well as like, how do you make sure that it's, you know, there are some expert quotes and things like that in it, and making sure that it's like leveling that up is super important. So I would say having the human element in a more robotic world is going to be more and more important, I feel like. And I think that's what I've been thinking a lot about, and it'd be advice to myself and other content marketers as well.
Yeah, a healthy amount of skepticism / you're still the manager. Like you're not going to be able to blame the content quality on AI. Like that's probably not going to fly. You're trying to publish things like straight out of the mouth of an AI. All right, well, that's pretty much it for now. So where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me online. They can find me LinkedIn, Twitter, Threads, this new thing. Just find me Ramley John, as well as my show that I had Camille Trent on. She talked about news jacking, marketingpowerups.com, that people can check it out. They also have a cheat sheet that I've created for people to download and apply those concepts.
Well, thanks again for coming on, and we'll have to redo this episode like in a year or two when like we have all these like deep fakes and AI has taken over the world, and we'll do a little retro on this.
Let's do it. I love it.
See you, Ramlin.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Content Logistics. This episode is produced by Motion, a done-for-you B2B podcasting agency for busy marketers. If you liked what you heard, please follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.